So I have one simple question for you. Did you miss me?
I did not, John.
No?
I very much enjoyed our time apart. You know, it's like if you love something, set it free.
And I came back.
And you came back. I don't know what the whole point of that is, though. I don't think it's totally true. Because sometimes when you love something and you set it free, it goes out and bangs a bunch of dudes.
Okay, so that was an unusual way to start the show.
I like to intermix. Is that a word, intermix?
It could be. We'll make it
intermingle.
One. Intermingle.
Or how about just mix? I like to mix in a little of my personal life into all of my creative endeavors. And while one might argue whether this is a creative endeavor, it's still an endeavor. And so I'm going to mix in some personal stuff.
So we're kicking off. This is episode 30, episode 30, episode XXX, the file territory.
Triple X.
Yeah, we've made it to 30. Congratulations to us.
I'm very pleased. And now we're old enough to vote. Is that?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Old enough to run for Congress?
You're Jed Rigney. I got to get this in. You're Jed Rigney. I'm John Sumple.
Yeah.
We've been doing this now for over a year, 30 episodes. We're like pros at this stuff. Well, not really.
You know what? It's like clockwork now.
It is.
It's a broken clock that needs a lot of repair, but we put these out like clockwork.
We do. And what's interesting, I remember the first, handful that we did, I used to look at your notes and do research and kind of prepare, and then we used to talk for 10-15 minutes before the episode. I think we talked all of 30 seconds before this one.
Right, where I was telling you how I'm doing this without my shirt on.
Right, and I laughed for, I think, 15 seconds of that 30 seconds. So just in case anybody needs a reason to stay tuned, we may be lucky to hear a little flop sweat from Jed throughout the show.
It's very warm here in New York. It's the humidity. It's actually not warm. Like L.A., I'm from L.A., I'm used to warm, but this humidity is...
Yep.
I went out for a 15-minute walk, and my shirt was soaked through. I'm also kind of a disgusting pig.
And one of the famous things about New York City in the summer, especially as you roll into August when that humidity gets even worse, is the aroma of the garbage stewing in the streets. Isn't that fun?
I'm already like plotting out, okay, I can't walk on this street anymore. Like we have two things. We have some garbage streets, and it's all sides of streets. If you go to the other side, it's fine in most cases. But we've got some urine stuff, John. I'm telling you, I don't know who this is coming out of, but this person has a medical condition.
It might be an entire population that has the medical condition.
Well, that's true. It might be quite a few people.
Might be quite a few. It's those side alleys, you know? That what else are they good for?
John, these aren't side alleys.
Oh, these are
10th Avenue.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's a new way to open the show with no bit, so we can open it up with the urine discussion. The New York City Urine. That sounds like a band name.
It is like a band name. Yeah. I will say one thing about New York is that they've got a lot of stuff figured out, but they have a big problem with the homeless that they still haven't figured out because, of course, it's a very difficult problem to solve. I'm not whatever. But they've done a lot of good things, and then I don't know if you've heard, but like the transit is just going crazy.
In a good
trains
way?
Getting shut down, derailments.
Oh, geez. That's
but
not good.
It's so warm down in the subway and gross, and most of them smell like urine, and I don't know. What are we talking about? Oh, right, we talk about baseball.
Our new sponsor, the New York City Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, New York City, you're in trouble.
Oh, boy. Well, on that note, let's just jump into some other putrid elements of baseball, even though it's an off week for all intents and purposes. And the All-Star game. And I have to admit, I had company in town last week. I have company in town this week. I saw a little bit of the home run derby. I saw none of the futures game. I saw none of the All-Star game. So we're going to have you kind of fill in the blanks on all that is interesting, if there was anything that was interesting about the game.
Well, let's talk about the All-Star game a little bit. The American League won. Robinson Cano hits a home run.
I heard about it. Didn't
Fantastic.
See it, but I heard about it.
Off of Wade Davis, I think it was. Wade Davis, who's been pretty solid for the Cubs, but maybe not as great as, I don't know, maybe guys for what they gave up. They didn't really give up much for him. But anyway, Cano, MVP, very cool. But a low-scoring game, ironically, or coincidental. Is it ironic or coincidental? Because... this is the year of the home run.
Right. So what was, I mean, was it a dominant pitching game or was it everybody just kind of having fun?
I mean, here's the thing about the era of the home run. It's always going to be quieted by good pitching. Mm-hmm. Always. And, you know, you had Max Scherzer and Chris Sale and
the best of the best.
Yeah, the best of the best. And, you know, I think you have, you know, guys geeked up to try to hit home runs, and it's a little harder to hit home runs off of Max Scherzer. Well, Max Scherzer's a little bit,
he gives up his fair share
sometimes. Though, have you seen his whip this year? His walks, hits, per inning pitch? It's like 0.6.
Wow.
All right, maybe it's not that low. But anyway, I'm not good at math. But anyway, it's a good game. But, you know, I think for an all-star game, you do want a little bit more scoring. I think that's better
for fans.
Yeah,
that makes it more exciting. Right.
2-1's not quite the way to go.
So how was the whole air of all-star celebrity and everything that comes with the game, Miami style? Did they kind of, you know, Latin it up for...
Well, the saddest thing about the Miami thing was that they tried to do an all-star parade. And I saw the photos of it and, like, I don't know, 40 people showed up.
I did. I mean, what makes absolutely no sense for that is we're talking Miami in the middle of the summer, in the middle of the day. So that's 90 degrees, you know, humidity and a threat of rain.
Yeah. And
that
a
makes
weekday,
no sense.
Right?
In a weekday.
Yeah. And Miami is not like super geeked on baseball.
No.
They're super geeked on college football for sure and probably football to some degree. Pro football, I mean. But anyway, it was just sort of a weird experience. And then Fox had Alex Rodriguez. And I'm like, look, I'm willing to let him get in the booth and talk, but I don't want him walking around the field talking to players. I don't think that people want that. Like, he's still a jerk, you
right,
know?
Right. He needs a little more time away from the game before, you know, people appreciate him being on the sidelines, unless he's, you know, looking for clients.
But you know what would be great out there is if they got, what if they had like a funny person, like a comedian that knew baseball?
Yeah,
I guess they couldn't do that because it's live, because the funny person might go, whatever. It shouldn't be A-Rod is all I'm saying.
Bill Murray would be good.
Bill Murray, see?
That would be great.
I wonder if he would do that. Anyway.
Maybe next year.
And, of course, the biggest thing about the weekend for me was the Futures game.
Mm-hmm. How was that? I watched, I did see that it was a big
half
lead.
Of it. Yeah.
And then
so strong pitching all the way around except for a couple guys on the world team gave up some hits and whatever, but I mean both lineups were just so stacked, and again very similar to the All-Stars where, you know, these guys who've been having great years, you know, hitting 15 home runs so far, hitting
shut
300
down.
All kind of shut down by
their
the
Kopech
elite
mode
pitchers.
Mowed few people over and was dishing up triple digits
100 miles an hour. It's pretty great. But
so
you
do
know
you
like
have, do you have any insight as to players to watch based on what you saw?
Eloy Jimenez, which we'll get to in a bit, for the Cubs. I mean, the crazy thing is, like, look, we're all sort of used to these young guys coming up now, right? So I don't know if any one of these guys is, like, the next Carlos Correa, who has now turned into a monster and who you said might be MVP at the beginning of the season.
And
I
you
like,
said,
it's
a horrible start, but look at this. What a turnaround. Well, not
if he didn't have the horrible start, he would be. It would be him and Judge for MVP right now. So, but he did have the horrible start, so it's rough because Altuve on the Astros, Springer on the Astros, and Correa on the Astros are all
having
sort of
fantastic
like
years. Yeah,
pretty equally.
Springer,
fantastic.
Did anybody see Springer doing this?
26,
27 home runs, leadoff. What?
No, and no speed all of a sudden. Like he just shut down his speed game, and they're leading him on. It's like it's so weird. Like I don't want to say, well, the Astros are doing something wrong because they got 60 wins, but shouldn't he be batting third? If he doesn't run,
right,
and all he does is hit tons of home runs, then you move him down to second? But put Altuve first. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing over there, but they're winning games, so it's hard for me to...
Seems to be working despite all the injuries on the starting rotation. So that says that they're either really that good or the competition in the American League, specifically in the American League West, which, as records indicate, they're all every team other than the Astros is under 500, I believe. At 500.
I mean, it's a confluence of those things, right? Mm-hmm. And there's some studies that have shown that, like, roster structure doesn't – or lineup structure doesn't really matter that much. But shouldn't there be more people on base when he's batting? I mean,
you would think that would be a plus.
That feels like the smart thing. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, what are you going to do? You go Springer, Altuve. Actually, they go Springer, and then they usually throw someone in there like Reddick, right? To mix it up left, right, a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then it goes Altuve, Correa. I mean, it's an awesome lineup. But we talked about this at the beginning of the season. It's the best lineup in the major leagues. The only question is their pitching. And McCullers has been very good, injury problems. Keuchel, very good, injury problems. Morton, surprisingly good, injury problems.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see if they might go out and grab Sonny Gray now that Quintana's off the market.
Quintana's off the market. Yeah. Yeah, that was. We'll get to that in a little bit. Well, I guess that's the next thing up on our things to do.
But, you know, All-Star Game is always great television, and it was great to see it kind of go, you know, one extra inning. I don't think anyone wants it to go more than that. But,
especially all the owners and GMs.
Yeah.
The one thing that I did notice, and I did, because I didn't see the game, I'm not sure who the broadcasters were for the game, but without Chris Berman, the Home Run Derby has a whole different feel, especially with Carl Ravitch trying to pretend to be Chris Berman. That didn't work at all.
Oh, you know what? I had it on mute the whole time, so I couldn't.
That was probably a good thing.
But yeah, I mean, it's always like back, the Chris Berman thing. But I don't know. Didn't that just need to go entirely?
It did, but it just seems so different without it. And I mean, he's been doing that routine since the 80s, so it's
also
a little bit old.
To be fair, Carl Ravitch. No offense, Carl. He's always been sort of like a guy doing an impression of a sportscaster.
Mm-hmm. He definitely tried to channel some Chris Berman energy into it, which I don't. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the announcers that ESPN has for baseball, so I rarely watch the games on ESPN.
Yeah, well, you know, the only person I like is the. That softball player.
She's good.
What's her name?
She is good. She definitely adds. She has a level of intelligence that the other talking heads who never play the game don't have. So she does. That definitely is a great color analyst. So she's awesome.
She has a good presence vocally, and when the camera's on her, I don't care how she looks, but she just doesn't seem uncomfortable. All the former players look like they're, you know, in some sort of like lineup or something when the camera gets put on them. And they have these sort of rambling thought processes, and then there's like Aaron Boone with his high pitched voice, like that.
And they're trying to make Mark Teixeira.
You got to be a baseball
announcer.
Player,
right? That should be
you
enough.
Got to be, like, move aside, friend. Yeah. Let's get someone in here with a voice we can stand. Like, all right, Aaron Boone.
So next week's tune in for who we bash, you know, on the other networks.
You know what? Good luck to all these people, and I wish them all the best. But really. Now that McCarver's gone, I can hate, I can disperse my hate. I can spread it out a little bit more.
You didn't like Tim's casual approach to play-by-play and color?
I wasn't a fan.
No, I was a fan of Joe Garagiola back in the day. And McCarver, I think, worked with Joe Garagiola towards the end of Garagiola's career. I mean, maybe going back too far for you. Tony Kubek and all these guys that used to announce it. And they were good. And baseball announcing has turned into some sort of celebrity now. It used to be just, you know, pure baseball. I shouldn't say that. You know, if you were a fan of the New York Mets back in the 70s, you had Ralph Kiner, who was the worst, probably the worst color commentator, maybe in the history, because he used to. But he was funny, though. He always used to offer all these colloquialisms and butcher the English language. So, and I think a few times he was inebriated on air too, which kind of added to the fun.
You can hardly blame him though, because it's the Mets, you know?
Especially back in the 60s. So let's move on to some other big headlines, and it's that.
This
time
is the big headline.
This is the big headline, and this just happened. Was it today or yesterday? Was it today?
Today, just like today. Hours
minutes ago. Yeah. So Jose Quintana. I'm shocked by where he's going. Not surprised he moved, but very surprised by where he's going, which is a short cab ride.
Yeah, and so Jose Quintana traded from the White Sox to the Cubs. So here's what happened. Before the season, everyone thought Quintana's getting traded when the White Sox did their big dump to get rid of Chris Sale. And who's that outfielder? God, I can never remember this guy's name.
Moncada?
No, he picked up Moncada. The one they sent to the Nationals.
Oh, yeah, Eaton, Adam Eaton.
Okay, Adam Eaton, right? Under, I don't want to say undervalued, but underappreciated player by many, but a good return for both those players, right? But then there's Quintana sitting on the roster. Like, well, what are we going to do with this guy? Like, all right, we'll wait till closer to the trade deadline. First month, Quintana's getting his teeth kicked in. Mm-hmm. He got curb stomped by the Red Sox.
Not a good start.
And it was it was not looking good. And then the last month, he has just been putting in solid start and like exceptional to solid. Like
except for the first inning.
Well, I mean, but whatever. Like he's looked like that very good pitcher again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
striking guys out, hitting, you know, getting weak contact, like all the things you want. I don't want to say he's an ace, but like that number two.
Mm-hmm.
Really excellent
but
number
the,
two.
The challenge he's going to have right now is he's bringing in, you know, what I would call mediocre success over the course of the first half of the season, the entire first half, to a rotation that has been mediocre at best.
Right. But here's the thing. He gets an improved defense, though not much improved.
Yeah.
That not as good as the Cubs were last year. And, you know, the winning vibe, he gets to face National League hitters. Which means he'll have that advantage.
To
face the pitcher,
mm-hmm.
which automatic, you know, pitcher instead of a DH can be a significant difference. You know, one less home run per three games or whatever. I think it's a great move for the Cubs. They paid quite a bit, not quite as much as the Red Sox paid for Sale, but Eloy
yeah, so
Jimenez.
What did you think that? Yeah, just go ahead with that. But my follow up will be after you talk a little bit about Jimenez. Is did they get enough in return
I mean, they got the Cubs' two best prospects and then a couple guys that were sort of like they might turn into something, you know, useful piece, or they might suddenly jump up the rankings or whatever. You never know. They're so far away. But those two players they got, that's worth the value that Quintana is, because Quintana is not only a good pitcher, but he's got a great contract,
right? He's controllable for the next 4 years, right?
Yeah, so it's cheap mm-hmm. years, like $8 million, stuff like that. So $11 million, like easily half or a third of what he would get on the open market. So it's a great trade, I think, for both teams. I think the White Sox now move into top three farm teams, and they still have what left to trade. They have Todd Frazier can go.
Nate Robinson.
David Robertson.
Or David Nate Robinson. Yeah, that's a wrong player.
Yeah, it's all right.
They're basically doing what the Astros did 3 years ago,
yeah.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, that's smart. I mean, they're tearing it all the way down, and it's going to be interesting to see who else follows suit and does the same thing.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they throw Dave Robertson.
Okay, yeah. Not Robinson.
So Dave Robertson. Another reliever at the Nationals to try to pull out like a Juan Soto. I don't think they'll get a Victor Robles, but, you know, to get one of those, or maybe like a Juan Soto and a, you know, what's that guy, their shortstop prospect? Kierboom, which is an amazing name. Tyler Kierboom, I think. Well, they're all named Tyler, right? If you're ever not sure of a baseball player's name, just guess
Tyler's
Tyler.
A good one. So I think that this is the first big chip. I know we talked last week or 2 weeks ago about Echeverria being the start of the trade season. But will Toronto strip down? There's a chance they will. You know,
well, we're
going to
go through each of the teams and see.
Okay, the second half preview?
Yeah, that's what I want to do, is just kind of go through each team, see what we think they're going to – are they going to buy? Are they going to sell? Are they going to stand pat? See what happens.
Okay.
We'll kind of go through every team quickly, of course, listener. Don't worry. Very quickly.
You may want to grab a drink and a snack and buckle in.
No. It's not going to be a long thing. It's going to be informative, but also I'm going to make sure we don't ramble too much. Though I do guarantee some rambling.
So, well, let's then finish up the headlines, because I see that we don't have a starting nine this week, so that we can focus primarily on the second half team-by-team preview.
That's exactly why.
Okay. So, for those of you who are waiting all this time just to hear the starting nine, tune in next week.
Yes. Guaranteed next week, a starting nine.
Okay. So, after Jose Quintana, we have the ongoing saga of the Marlins.
Who's going to buy
Jeffrey
the Marlins?
Loria trying to stay, you know, relevant in the media just a little bit more, because I know that Major League Baseball and the commissioner wanted this done before the All-Star game. Didn't happen. Still kind of up in the air. Three bidders. Seems like two are serious. Seems like the Tag Robney group has kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit, but this has turned into a soap opera with what's been going on. But apparently Michael Jordan has joined the Jeter group. I don't know what
this
adds,
is classic.
Other than some, you know, clout, you know, with the name.
Classic Loria stuff here. Just a mess, and it's to the point now where it's annoying.
And he apparently was asked a lot of questions on, I think it was on Tuesday, and he was gruff as usual and telling people that, you know, there's going to be a sale when there's a sale. Other than that, there's no deal in place. So don't ask about a deal because there's no deal. He's just a jerk. And the sooner he gets out of baseball, the better it's going to be for the Marlin franchise, for the city of Miami, for baseball in general. He's just toxic, just a toxic, toxic owner.
You know what, John? I think he's a turd.
Yes, I would say that. And he probably smells a lot like the, you know, 10th Avenue in a summer day.
But with a little Drakkar Noir mixed in.
just add a little panache. Very nice. Okay, so the last thing we have in headlines is Miguel Cabrera kind of came out and kind of put his name and family on the line with some criticisms of the Venezuelan political climate, which there's positives to it because there's a lot of people unifying behind this kind of movement of criticizing the government. But he was pretty outspoken.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a rough situation down there with, you know, the almost daily protests and the people starving. And I mean, I'm tempted to go down there myself, John. I heard that the average Venezuelan has lost 17 pounds in the last year due to starvation. And I'm thinking, you know what?
The Venezuelan
this could
diet.
Be what I need to kickstart my new diet. A little socialism
there you go.
Sinkhole. It's really terrible. I mean, I think a few years back, it looked like this country had sort of gotten itself figured out. It's such a weird part of the world, you know, with just historically. I mean, the last 1,000 years, it's really tragic to see a country like that being torn apart. And, you know, we don't really give it much attention here in the United States because, you know, we're so busy looking at, you know, Donald Trump's wrestling tweets and
right. We're entertained by politics more than suffering from politics.
Like, I think there's a certain sense of American politics where it's like, where, you know, it's like, oh, I can get angry about it and I can, but like, this is something where like, what are you going to do? Like, you want the people to not be killed.
Right.
There's no opposition view to that for Americans. But for a Venezuelan like Miguel Cabrera, it's very ballsy to just to put it out there because you don't know who you're going to piss off accidentally, and you got family and money.
Yeah, and that's a big thing that happens in some of these countries too, where they with people with money, they're going to look to kidnap somebody in the family just to extort some money from them, and that happens all the time. It's unfortunate that, you know, these superstars need to pay tons of dollars or whatever the money, local money is, to secure staff
Dolores.
To protect their family. And some of it is even, you know, greasing the government to say, stay off of my family or protect my family. Sad state of affairs in Venezuela, but it's good to see that there's some players from several teams that are starting to talk about this and politicizing their celebrity a little bit to help with the situation.
Do you think we have enough in there? We probably have enough in there.
I think we do, but we can just, you know, let's be real here. Folks, we had a little technical glitch and dropped the call, so we're not quite sure where that ended, but we're going to continue on with the second half team-by-team preview, as promised earlier in the show.
Yes, let's do it. Let's start with the American League first.
Okay, I'm going to let you run with this, and I'm just going to bounce off of your commentary.
All right, so let's start with the American League West. We have the Astros are well out in front, 16.5 games out in front, the only team above 500 in that division.
I heard that this is the first time since 1969, I believe, that two teams entered the All-Star break with 60 wins.
Nice.
One in each league.
69. I love it.
Yeah. A long time ago.
So the Astros, obviously, are making the playoffs. Obviously, they're winning their division. The rumor has the maybe Sonny Gray going to the Astros.
Yes.
I really don't see him as much of an improvement, but I guess he's a slight improvement, and that's what you want when you're looking at the playoffs. I mean, I guess they're... Because basically, this is their playoffs, right? And maybe it's like insurance in case one of these guys drops off. Because you have Keuchel and McCullers, right? Who's number three in Houston right now?
Good question. Is McHugh back or is he still
on the shelf?
No, he's
not back
yet.
And then they got a couple of young guys. And then there's Musgrove. Musgrove isn't your number three playoff starter. All right, well, yeah, maybe they should go get Sonny Gray.
Okay.
I mean, Astros have all the prospects. They have so many good prospects. It's fantastic. I mean, Derek Fisher, not the basketball player, though he is left-handed. He should actually be on the major league team, but they're choosing to go with Aoki.
He was in the Futures game, wasn't he?
I don't know if Tucker made the okay. He's another one. He's their double A hitting monster. And they have a first baseman who's a hitting monster. I don't know, it's just ridiculous, this team. Astros fans have a lot to be excited about this season and the next few. It's pretty great. Next team, the Angels.
The beginning of the sub-500.
The beginning of the sub-500 AL West. I mean, they're not out of it.
No, right? I mean, nobody is, really.
They're not out of it. How far out of the wild card are they?
I think three everybody games. Has a shot within the wild
three
card,
games.
Actually.
Yeah, they're three games out. All in the loss column, by the way. They're six games out in the loss column. Anyway, Trout comes back on Friday. This is a decent team. They've pieced it together. We talked about this at the beginning of the season. The projections had them being potentially a wild card team. They're potentially a wild card team, but not for the reasons I think the projection systems wanted them. But I think they should trade for a piece, you know, like get a slight upgrade, you know, maybe at third base or something like that. There's some good decent third baseman out there you don't have to pay a lot for, and they have nothing to pay. They have almost no farm system. You can see them grabbing one more guy, and they're not selling, though. I don't think they're selling.
No, I don't think so. I don't think any – I mean, when you look at it, other than the White Sox are only 7.5 games – they're the worst team in the AL, and they're only 7.5 games out of the playoff spot. That's a surmountable odd. Maybe not with the team that they're paring down to, but, yeah, stranger things have happened. But, yeah, everybody's in it, really, in the American League. You know, the Yankees,
I think
allowed a whole bunch of people back with their – tremendous downslide over the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Which has been a delight, by the way.
Yeah, spoken like a true Red Sox fan.
It's been a real treasure. But look, the teams that are out are the White Sox, the A's are out, and I think Detroit's out. I think they have too many teams to overcome. They're 8 games back of Cleveland and 6.5 back. Oh, that's too far.
I think they would be a smart team to really blow it up, fire sale.
Yeah.
That would do them so well. They have tremendous pieces that people would clamor for, and they would get a ton in return.
I mean, they have valuable stuff that other teams would want. And the only thing they don't, well, I guess they have Justin Wilson, but then can you really give away Justin Wilson and then have no relief?
Right.
Like, I don't think you don't want to demoralize Detroit. You don't want to demoralize these people.
But I think one of the things that's happened, though, is that you're seeing these rebuilding projects going on. The Yankees in particular that have had success, the Astros, the Cubs. People are thinking, you know, before it was never like that. You had the haves and the have-nots, and it was like that forever. And now people can see that, you know, even the Royals to a certain extent when they had their run, is that they rebuilt. They rebuilt their teams, and they had success. So if you're a fan of a team that's going through a rebuilding or has the opportunity to go through a rebuilding process, I would get excited about it. I used to get, you know, upset with the Marlins when they blow things up, but I'm kind of hoping they do now. I mean, I think it would be a good thing to start.
Yeah, but if they did it now, it would be because it's a sound baseball strategy. Before they were doing it because it was financially, I don't even want to say prudent. It was just it was based on a financial decision. But if you take, because I just think that the Tigers, I feel like you have a delicate problem with Detroit baseball, and that is that it's Detroit. And they have a lot of economic problems there. And I think that you do run the risk of, if you alienate them, and because they're so used to kind of being in it every year, if you give them garbage, they're not going to respond well to it. Like, I don't think they can do the fire sale. They can't get rid of Cabrera and Verlander but you can move a J.D. Martinez, who's a free agent next year, or maybe at the end of this year. And again, I just wouldn't do the bullpen, because the bullpen is the demoralizing thing they've had to deal with. But they could, you know, trade away Justin Wilson and J.D. Martinez and get back some quality prospects. I mean, at a certain point, they got to look at moving Verlander, though, and like, they didn't move him last year. If they'd moved him in the offseason, they could have gotten a bigger return. They could have gotten a Chris Sale return. But they didn't, and now they'd be lucky with his contract. They'd be lucky to get a bag of baseballs, frankly.
But there's a lot of chatter around that right now, is that he's a top candidate to get traded by the deadline.
Right. Now, if you do that, if you're the Tigers and you do that, eat the contract.
Yeah.
You were already planning on spending that money. Eat the contract and get the prospects,
Get the prospects. I completely agree. Don't dump the money because you're not going to get anything in return for that.
Yeah. All right, so back to the American League West. Mm-hmm. The Rangers, the rumor hit the wire today that Darvish and Hamels might be available, if depending on how it goes the next couple of weeks. Now, I love the White Sox making this move early, you know, dumping Quintana and the Cubs going out and getting Quintana. It's not early in the month, but it's mid-month, right? As opposed to at the end of the month at the deadline. You get an extra couple of weeks. You're not paying extra for those extra couple of weeks, but you get 2-3 more starts on your team with that quality player. Mm-hmm. It's a smart move, but I think the Rangers are going to push a little closer to the wire, see if they can get a little winning streak going. I think they're up against KC to start things off, who have been solid, though they got their poop handed to them by the Dodgers to end the first half.
But they climbed back in it. They definitely climbed back in it. Over 500.
But that Rangers team has some really nice pieces that they could trade away. Like, Darvish is a free agent at the end of the season anyway. If you can trade him and get a top prospect, who wouldn't want Darvish?
Right, right.
I mean, Yankees, Red Sox, the Dodgers might even want to get on that. I don't know. The Dodgers team is so ridiculously stacked.
They've been pretty good. We'll get to them.
Yeah.
Okay, keep moving.
What else we got? We got Seattle. All right, so Seattle... This is like every time we talk about Seattle, it's the same thing. It's like they're not out of it. They're a pretty good team, but they're just missing like a couple of pieces to kind of kickstart everything. And I think they should trade.
Yeah, but DePoto has done everything to create a team of on-base percentage and run scoring.
Yeah.
And they've done that to a certain extent, but their pitching has been what has been the biggest issue for them. So if there's talk that they're going to go out and get a pitcher. So it's, I don't know. They're one of those teams that they flirt with 500, then they fall four games under. They flirt with 500, and they fall four games under.
They start the second half against the White Sox.
Could be a good kickstart.
So you get a little three win sweep. You get yourself within a couple games of the wild card. Heck yeah. Just go get yourself a pitcher.
This is good. DePoto's statement at the break was the Mariners underperformed and they can do better. That's his statement.
I completely agree.
So they've been
nipped by some injuries. I know a lot of teams have had injuries, but I think the Mariners are one of those teams that have been particularly hurt by their injuries.
So they're talking that some of the rumors out here is that Verlander comes to the Mariners.
I mean, that would be a hell of a thing. They have a couple of decent prospects.
We'll see.
But anyway, you wouldn't have to give up that much. Maybe you give up obviously you give up Vogelback, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a pitching prospect. I don't know. All right, so that's all on the American League West, which we did, I think, in a little bit more time than we thought. But we also covered a couple of the American League Central, so let's bang out the rest of that. Currently led by the Cleveland Indians, who seem to be getting their stuff together and playing like the World Series defending champ. Jose Ramirez is an MVP candidate, and he is the third baseman, second baseman, outfielder.
Surprise.
Surprise for the Indians, and worth every penny of his very cheap contract. The pitching needs to get a little bit on track. I mean, Kluber's great. Carrasco's been very good, but the rest has been sketchy, except for my boy Clevinger.
Yeah.
Didn't I tell you?
Yes, you
Clevinger
did.
Clevinger all the way, man. I love that guy. So what will they do? Gosh, I don't know. Maybe an outfielder? Would they trade for an outfielder?
And they've been relatively quiet in the past.
Yeah. I mean, they have Brantley, Chisenhall, and Zimmer.
Chisenhall, who's having an amazing year.
Yes.
That's probably one of the bigger surprises in the American League.
Yes. Very surprising. But, you know, like, you just get him in the outfield, get him off the infield so he doesn't have to play a position. It's very much like Miguel Sano, right? The opposite, though. Mm-hmm. Like, we brought him from the outfield to third base. Like, that sort of comfort does affect players. It doesn't affect all players and isn't like a cure-all, but it does affect certain players' mentalities. But, yeah, he's got, I think, 30 RBIs this last month, 26 crazy. RBIs. It's been an impressive month for Lonnie. But yeah, I'm not sure where would they improve. Maybe this has become a very bad segment. I don't know how the Indians would improve themselves. I mean, maybe a starting pitcher, but is there enough starting pitching out there for them to go get someone? I don't think there is.
I when you look at who they're playing against, I don't think that. I guess really what they're going to do is they're going to watch to see what the Twins and Royals do, because the Tigers and White Sox are done. Because if the Tigers are talking about trading Verlander and potentially, you know, some minor buzz about Cabrera, if they do that, they're in full rebuild mode, and the Indians would have to do nothing. They would just have to watch the Twins and Royals. Twins are talking about going out and getting pitching, and if they can go out and get pitching, they could compete. They're a huge surprise, though.
I hope the Twins do the Pirates move, right, for the last few years, where they don't go out and pay severely, because look, this team is 25-15 on the road. That's unrealistic.
Crazy.
That's not what's going to happen in the second half, right? So, but is it safe to say that they maybe will do better than 20-28 at home? Probably, right? Mm-hmm. So you just don't want to give up too much of your farm. They've got some very good players in their farm system. You don't want to give that up just to give yourself a slightly better chance to get a play-in game into the playoffs.
Right. Do you want to make trades? Do you want to go after somebody for the opportunity to do a one-game play-in?
Yeah. Of course, then they never really did anything in the playoffs, so who knows, maybe that's the wrong way to go also. But it's such a crapshoot. Why give up, you know, big, valuable pieces? And I don't think the Twins, and I don't think the Royals should either. I think the Royals should just sort of play it like, okay, let's not sell. But what I see happening for the Royals is they don't sell because they get to the deadline, and then they fall apart, and then they wish they had sold. Well, but then who cares, because they won the World Series 2 years ago.
Right. But they have Hosmer and Moustakas, both free agents this season, this season.
And Kane.
Yeah. So, do they – that's their big question, is do they trade those pieces now? But I think it would be a challenge for them to do that when they're this close. And they've gotten much better in the last month and a half. So can they continue on that trend? They've had they're another surprise team. I don't think that, the Twins are surprised, the Royals are surprised. The Twins, though, I think a lot of it was smoke and mirrors, and the second half might be – I think their run differential is close to 60-ish under.
Yeah.
So they're not scoring a lot of runs, but they're giving up a ton of runs.
Yeah.
So their pitching is not good. So they've targeted pitching. So we'll see what happens with – and I think if the Twins or Royals do make moves, the Indians will too.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know who you pick up on that team to improve them. Their bullpen's pretty solid.
Very solid.
So let's go on to the American League East, where the Red Sox are currently in first by 3.5 games. But that's a great team that needs a third baseman. The guys they have in there right now are not bueno. But their top prospect, and many consider to be in the top three or four prospects in baseball, Rafael Devers, is crushing the ball and is the third baseman.
So is there reason for control issues that they want to keep him down until mid next season?
I think their problem with him is they're not 100% sure he can play defensively a solid third base. And I think that's sort of what they're thinking right now, is they'd rather have a solid defensive player there than a bigger hitter. So, but his defense has been good. It just has, for his career, it hasn't been very good. But I think you're looking at a move there, and you're looking at a relief pitcher. They've been tied to Pat Neshek with the Phillies.
Right.
The righties can't touch him, and the lefties have been having trouble this season as well. It's a, I don't think they need starters. I think they have all their guys. They got Eduardo Rodriguez is coming back. And there's also rumors of Carson Smith
coming back,
soon. He's starting to throw baseballs, so that could be a nice late season trade by whatever proxy. But that's so the
revolving
team to beat in the
the revolving door is third base, and they really need to shore that up.
Yeah, and my guess is that they don't try to acquire a third baseman, and they bring up Devers.
I'm just reading right now that they let Johnny Peralta go today.
Yeah, that was...
So that was a failed experiment.
Yeah. Yeah, and the whole Panda thing, Pablo Sandoval, what a mess that's been for the Red Sox.
It's been a disaster. And for him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he
went
from...
He's a good guy, right?
To,
what a great personality-plus guy, and he just... some guys, you just need to take less money and stay with the team you're doing well with, right. You know? Anyway, so moving on. We have the Yankees. This is probably the biggest surprise of the division. Their offense has been incredible, and every time someone falls off, another person steps in, starting Castro, second base. Was an all-star, even though he missed a couple of weeks. And, of course, Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Aaron Hicks. Aaron Hicks was killing the ball. They were even saying when Ellsbury came back that Hicks would not be benched, and then Hicks got injured, and that handled that problem. They brought up Clint Frazier. He's been hitting great. They brought up Dustin Fowler. He blew out his knee in his first outfield play.
Didn't even get an at-bat.
The old Moonlight Graham scenario for those Field of Dreams fans. Mm-hmm. And also for people who just are aware of that old kind of baseball stuff. But he's that's a very good offense. And they have a good situation now where they don't have a DH. They just rotate out one of the outfielders. They give him a rest for a day. It's a pretty ideal setup. And Chase Headley is not a black hole at third base. That's an area they could improve. But really, it's just the starting pitching. The Jordan Montgomery is good. Luis Severino is very good. I believe Sabathia will continue to throw duds after duds because he does this every year. He has that one month where it's like, oh my gosh, here he is again. He's reborn. And then he just falls apart because the league figures him out, or he just gets tired or whatever. And they need like a really good starting pitcher. And I think their bullpen could use a little help also.
Yeah.
Their bullpen, which has been a monster for the last few years, has been a little soft. I mean, especially Betances. I mean, he had a 15 ERA in June, July. Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, the Yankees, if they go out and get anything, not that they need much, and they don't need anything on the offensive side. They just need a starting pitcher would be, yeah. I would assume, if they were going to target it. But are they willing to part with pieces for, I think the long term for them looks really good.
Yeah.
It's more a matter of starting pitching to get into the playoffs this year. I mean, they had a horrible slide. I mean, they were 20 games above 500. Now they're only, what, four?
Yeah. As I said, it's been a delight. And you know what? If we had done this podcast, John, this morning or last night, I would have said my money's on them paying the price for Jose Quintana. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Is Cashman playing it too safe? They're the Yankees, for crying out loud.
Right.
I'm not saying they need to go full Dombrowski and gut the farm system. But come on, guys.
We'll see. They're the Yankees. We'll see.
You need some pitching. And that's a very particular stadium, right? So maybe that's what they shied away from Quintana for that because he's a little.
I think most of the teams were surprised that Quintana went so soon.
Yeah,
and to the Cubs. The Cubs were came out of
like there
field.
Were no rumors about this. It happened. Yeah, like, all the rumor guys on Twitter were like, "Oh my God, this just happened."
And I was reading some stuff just before we got on, where there were some reports from back in June that. No way was Quintana a target for the Cubs. These are by local, you know, bloggers in Chicago and articles written about that. And here we are.
All right, good. So then we got the Rays, who have been performing a little bit better than I think we thought, but right around a little over 500. Very good offense. And some of their pitching has really come together nicely. Jacob Faria, I think his name is. Who was leading the minor league in strikeouts, came up to the major leagues and has continued to dominate. Chris Archer's been Cy Young caliber. Odorizzi's been kind of garbagey. Alex Cobb has been good.
On the comeback, yeah.
Yeah, working good. Back. The changeup
Blake
is still
Snell
a little...
Blake Snell has been awful.
Meh. Blake Snell has smelled.
Right.
Right?
He can't
More
pitch
like
in the majors.
More like Blake smells.
But the shocker for them is Logan Morrison.
Logan Morrison, who they picked up for whatever, a couple $100, and as I mentioned, John, that Echeverria trade, all pitchers' numbers have gone down ever so slightly because he makes basically a play every game that wasn't being made.
Stellar defensive player.
Yeah. And there's that balance, right? And I think when you have a good offense like the Rays have, there's that balance where you know what, you just want to have. A little bit better defense if you can. Mm-hmm. And it was such a smart baseball move, you know, which most people are like, why would you trade for that guy? And who cares? That won't matter. Because sometimes you just need a little bit better defense, and it's making a difference. Mm-hmm. I think that's the difference for this team being a wild card and not being a wild card, is that trade. Because they're not going to do much else, right? The people are talking about trading away Archer. Archer. This guy still has, like, years of control and good value. Anyway, so this is a good team, and I don't see them necessarily acquiring anything big, but they might pick up like an extra piece, an extra outfielder because of injuries or whatever. And who's the catcher that they have?
Ramos.
Ramos is back and hitting well.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to cut Derek Norris, right? Yeah.
Yes.
And it's a good team. I actually think that they have a better chance of making the wild card than the Yankees. Just because I think the Yankees starting pitching is so bad.
Right, yeah. But the Yankees, unless they go out and get somebody.
Unless they go out. This is all, John, unless injuries, unless they acquire a big player. Sure, that's, right.
Any team can go from being, well, except for maybe the Dodgers can take a bullet or two, and so could the Astros and still exactly. Make it limp in. That's about it.
Orioles, these guys should sell. They got a couple relievers. They're never going to have higher value than they currently have. You can't trade Britton, of course, because he's just coming off the injury. But they got to sell. I'm not saying they need to do the fire sale, but it ain't going to be this year. You're fourth in your division in a stacked division. You're four games out of the wild card. Give it up.
So
sell.
The rumor, though, is that the Dodgers are interested in Britton. Even though they have Jansen, they're looking to. I mean, if they go out and make a trade, something like that, they would have shored up the back end more than it already is.
Yeah,
we'll get to them in a little bit, but yeah, that team is a juggernaut right now.
Yeah, but the Orioles are not. They're terrible. The problem is their defense, right? Like, yes, they get a lot of hits. They get a lot of home runs. They get a lot of actually more walks than I thought they would. Jonathan Scope has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All-star this year. He's always been someone I've sort of had my eye on, but I just kept thinking he wasn't going to get enough walks. And this year, in the year of home runs, he's figured out how to take more walks. And it's made a huge difference for all his numbers. But, like, what else has this team got going on for it? Chris Davis is injured. Trey Mancini is a solid piece.
But, you know, it's not, you're not going to bank on Trey Mancini.
But also, like, another DH?
Right.
Like, they have another DH? Like, this is enough. Enough with the freaking DHs. You got to have some outfielders out there. And I think that's a great example of a team that might want to reconsider how it builds itself. You know, and like, let's get some defense out there. But they should sell. They're done. Toronto should sell as well. Again, same thing. Five games out of the wild card. 8.5 out of first. Things didn't go the way you want. Too bad. Sell off some pieces. Build for next year. They're not out of next year, but they can get some pieces back to help them be a better team.
And the player that they should consider trading is Smoke, because he's got the most. He'll bring the most back in return. He's not. I don't see him continuing what he's doing. So you know, sell while the price is high for him.
But isn't the guy to trade Donaldson?
From a money perspective, definitely. You know, like, most definitely.
Don't you think you'd get the most return for a job? Like, that's, to me, if you can acquire an MVP, you're going to get something. Like, that helps your team so much more. Anyway, I'd be curious if they trade him off, if they have the balls to do that. But anyway, that's what I would do if I was Toronto, is I would sell off. Like, look, maybe you can get something for Bautista. I don't know. That's... Anyway, I think they should trade. We'll see what they do.
Okay, moving on.
Now we're going to the National League.
All right,
let's talk about them Dodgers. 61 wins.
Best record in baseball.
Take that, Astros. 61 wins. It's been incredible. I mean, they've just been destroying teams. And obviously, they're going to regress a little bit, lose some games they should win, blah, 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 blah. But they have just been freaking dynamite. They're the best team in baseball. You know, if you're looking at all aspects of the game, I think the Astros are the second best team, but if you're looking at just, you know, pitching and hitting and fielding, it's the Dodgers. What do? They could probably use a little back-end bullpen help. Mm-hmm. There's rumors connecting him to Britain, to Justin Wilson from the Tigers. So I guess they're thinking lefty because, I don't know, maybe they're trying to get Andrew Miller, their version of Andrew Miller.
Right.
Worked so well for the Indians last year. So, but yeah, that's the Dodgers are the team to beat, and this has been a tough division, certainly tougher than I thought it would
be. Best division in baseball.
But wow,
no one saw that coming.
I mean, they're 7.5 up,
and the Diamondbacks have the second best record in third best record in baseball.
Yeah, they have the second best record in the National League.
Yeah. And they're 7.5
And they're 7.5 games behind the Dodgers.
And that tells you a lot, too, because in the National or in the American League, the last place team in the American League is only 7.5 games out of a playoff spot.
Right.
The second best team in the National League is 7.5 games out of first place.
Yeah.
Which is
The Giants are 27 games out of first place.
Yeah. No one saw that coming.
Yeah. Not at all. And I enjoy watching the Giants stink, but I never would have guessed this. And this is the most that the Dodgers and Giants have ever been separated this far into the season.
Yeah, and even the Rockies, even though they had their slide, they're still 13 games up.
Yeah, this is a team I just don't buy the Rockies. Like, are they a shoe-in for the wild card now, basically? They basically, 7.5, there's a couple of eights. I mean, they basically have to fall apart to not make it, right?
They've got a 7.5 game lead.
Yeah.
I think the National League is pretty much sewn up right now. I don't see, if you look at the teams, the Cubs are baffling. We'll get to them in a second. But nobody else has shown any signs of life below the Cubs that could turn it around.
I mean, the Cardinals always seem to have
inconsistent.
Right?
They've been up and down and up and down. And the Cubs, who had a huge run differential, I think last year at this time they probably were a plus 150.
Yeah.
And now they're at zero.
Yeah.
I mean, what a turnaround.
Yeah, it's no like statistical fluke. They've been a 500 team, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been hovering around there pretty much the whole season.
Okay, so we're back to the Dodgers. Back to the West, anyway. Okay, good. So the Dodgers, they'll probably pick up a little piece. They don't need a big piece. They don't have a place to put a big piece. I guess maybe they could pick up a big outfielder and they want to make sure or something. I don't know. Like a Justin Upton or a Ryan Braun. I don't know. It just feels like the team works the way it is right now with Bellinger and Peterson and Puig and I don't know. I don't see them doing anything of any significance. Arizona. I could see Arizona picking up a piece.
Mm-hmm.
They have a couple players coming back from injury, but I think their starting rotation is good, and maybe they're looking at a back end bullpen piece too. I don't see them picking up a starter though, just because they got Greinke and Godley and Ray. I mean, that's a pretty nice trio right there.
Mm-hmm.
And what's his name? Corbin's been pitching well.
And they
so
moved
weird
into
to
the
me
bullpen,
that,
right?
What's that?
Was he moved to the bullpen? Or is he
no,
still,
he's, they
he's
moved
still
him back to the, okay. the starting, and he's been like a 3 ERA for the last 6 weeks. It's been impressive. Everyone kind of thought he was done.
They could be a surprise team come the playoffs. They could go deep in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean they have that defense problem, right? Where like maybe they can slug their way past, because you know like defense is about opportunities, right? So If the balls that are hit out to the outfielders are hit to the outfielders, then they're easy plays and they're outs. It doesn't matter if you have a lumbering left fielder. But you see like the Royals and the Cubs last year and the Giants, for the most part with their teams, strong defense because they chase down with whatever system of
technology,
mental analytics the person is using as they run across a field and reflex or whatever. So they're tracing down the ball. But, you know, you catch that one ball, you turn that one hit into an out, it's a big deal. It might be bigger than the other way around. That doesn't really make any sense.
But they...
Did I mention it's hot here, John?
It It's starting to wear on you.
Starting to wear on me. Anyway, that sort of those little defensive things, and you see them when pitchers throw no hitters.
But here's the advantage they have: their first six games coming off the break are against the Braves and the Reds. So if they start hot coming out of the break, they could, you know, then they face, well, then they face Washington for three, then Atlanta again, St. Louis, the Cubs, I mean, San Francisco. They don't, the only teams that they play that are strong are the Washington and the Dodgers. They don't play the Dodgers until the middle of August.
Yeah.
So they should feast in the second half looking at their schedule.
And they've been killing people at home. And they're supposed to set up that humidor possibly there.
Here's the huge advantage for if you're a Diamondbacks fan. The Diamondbacks, September 15th on, they play – well, actually, if you can go – they play the Dodgers in the first week of September. And then they play three home San Diego, four at home against Colorado. Then they're at San Francisco, at San Diego, at home against Miami, at home against San Francisco, and away against Kansas City. They have a really what's setting up to be a relatively easy September.
Did you have those memorized?
No, I'm looking at the schedule. Yeah, I got that Rain Man skills, mad skills. I look at schedules, commit them to
nice. All right, great. Well, I like what the Diamondbacks are doing. I think when you and I talked about them at the beginning of the season, we were like, this could be a good team that shouldn't sell, but if they're not a good team, they should sell.
And just we were even talking, I think in the beginning of the season, we talked about, you know, Greinke. If they're not doing well, they'll get rid of him.
Well, so many people, I think, thought Greinke was going to wind up on the Cubs. Because Arizona won't be that good, and they'll want to move that contract, and, you know, the previous regime wiped that off. Right. And there's Greinke's pitching like an ace, but it's only to the that's the weird thing we were saying was like if these players play like they can play and increase their value, their trade value, then aren't the Diamondbacks good?
Yeah.
And they are.
Yeah, they're a good team.
And Fernando Rodney, yes, he gets blown up every now and then.
Blew two saves in a row, which kind of put them their last two games. So, you know, if they're going to go out and get help, that's where they need it.
And then the question is, well, first of all, the Diamondbacks don't have much of a farm system. What should they give up and who should they go get? And I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be able to compete with what like the Nationals can give up or something like that. But they should get another piece regardless because they have a chance here.
Maybe David Robertson. Well, they're not gonna trade for a closer because they technically have a proven closer. So that's right. They might want to get a better. I don't know who their number two is, but they might want to look at a better number two. He's not the guy that's
like
gonna
a Ryan Madsen type or something.
Yeah, well, that's a possibility. We'll see. Yeah. That's probably what they'll do: is shore up the bullpen because that's really the only place that they need a ton. Well, like defense, you said, but they got the bats to overcome that. Okay,
all right,
moving
who else
on.
We got San Francisco. I would say they should be sellers, but they don't really have much to sell, and they're basically done. I think they have Eduardo Nunez coming back from injury tomorrow.
Ooh.
He might be valuable to trade off. He's a speedy guy, could play multiple positions, has some good offensive – maybe he's a good utility player for a contending team to pick up. But
it'll be interesting to see how having Bumgarner back – he said he's ready to go again. You know, what's the hurry?
But this is a bad organization right now, John. Like head to toe, this is a screwed organization. Now they got their three World Series, so who cares, right? But they have a crap farm team. So far, their big prospects have not panned out,
right?
And of course, they had a run there of just like, oh, here's another great one, and another one, and another one, and they don't have much to trade and. I could see them being bad for a few years.
Yeah, they're not. Wow, I'm just looking at some of their team batting average, .243, team OPB, .303. I ain't going to get it done.
Wait, are you down with OPB?
I'm down with it. Not for them, though.
No, they're down. Their OBP is down.
That's what, did I say PB?
Yeah.
OBP. Right, sorry about that.
I thought it was your ode to peanut butter.
No.
Their offensive peanut butter is
way
down. Way
down. That's it. They need the panda back. Panda peanut butter power. Okay, let's keep trucking.
All right, now, big surprise. The NL Central Cubs, not in first place. Milwaukee Brewers, first place.
And that was the team we both talked about in the beginning of the season that had looked like they had tremendous upside,
yeah,
but weren't sure if they would be a 500 team or a playoff team.
Right. And they look like they're a 500 team.
That's going to make the playoffs.
That might make the playoffs. I still think the Cubs are going to catch them.
I do. The Cubs are, they're, it,
I just think the Cubs are going to, me, I think though. The Cubs are going to catch them. I think that just, it's one of those things where the team is just so good that every year we see this. Oh, they're 500. And then they just go on a 17-3 run and it kind of just sneaks up on everyone. And then Milwaukee goes, 8-7. And then it's boom, zip, zap, zap, it's over.
But do you think their pitching can flip it?
I do, because you have Lester, you have Arrieta, you have Hendricks, and now you have Quintana, right? Who's the other? That's it, right? Lester. Right. That's a pretty impressive four, and you don't need any one of them to be an ace. And you can get Mike Montgomery out of the rotation or Eddie Butler or whomever whenever Kyle Hendricks comes back. Am I skipping someone? I think I'm skipping someone.
Let's see.
Here, you look for that while I'm talking. So
okay,
they
keep
have a,
talking.
Yeah, so I think that with the offensive weapons
Lackey.
They have.
Lackey.
Lackey, exactly. Okay, good. So that's your number five starter is John Lackey. I'm just saying, like, this is a good team. And good teams, over 162 games, they get their wins. And I don't think they're going to need to go catch the Dodgers. I think they just need to catch the Brewers. Mm-hmm. I think the Brewers are going to come back a little bit. I mean, some of their starting pitching has been just incredible. And it's not going to sustain. It's going to come back a little bit. And all the Brewers have to do is come back to the pack a little bit, and the Cubs can take them. So I like what the Brewers are doing. Brewers fans should be excited. If you're a Brewers fan listening to this show, wow, that's amazing.
We're excited.
I'm so excited there's a Brewers fan listening to the show. But there's a lot of prospects here in the farm system coming through. Like, they have a line of guys that are just, like, awesome. The AAA, AA, single A, it's really impressive. So they have pieces to go out and get a guy if they want to, if they want to make that big plunge. And who knows, maybe they do. Maybe they go out and get that piece, that one big thing that they need. I don't think they should. I think they should play it safe. They have a good team, a little outperforming right now. Enjoy it. Build for the future. That's what I say.
We'll see.
Yeah. Next up, the Cardinals. Man, you can never count them out, right?
Like, yeah, how the magic, the Cardinals' magic doesn't, there's, are the players there this year?
Well, you got Tommy Pham, right? Mm-hmm. And you've got, who's the guy, Voit at first base. Look, we're not talking about, they have pitching problems. That's the problem with this team, is they have pitching problems. Alex Reyes was their big hope to turn into their big ace this year. Right. He's out for the season with Tommy John. They just haven't, the Cardinals' magic of bringing up position players to hit has worked, but the pitchers have not. And it's, they're 43-45, and they kind of are that good a team. And yeah, they see, now that's a team I think would have a lot of trouble catching the Brewers, because I think they're about as good as the Brewers. So now a team that's about as good as the other one has to gain 5.5 games? I don't really see that. I don't think they should sell, because of course they're the Cardinals. They never sell. But I think,
I just don't see the team that can, this is just not a team that is going to threaten anybody this year.
Yeah. Like, they've got some surprisingly good performances. Jed Giorko, great first name, weird second name, whatever.
I would pronounce it Giorko, because that sounds better than Jerko.
I always call it Giorko.
It's Jerko.
No, I know it's Jerko.
But you like Giorko better?
Plus, trust me, there are plenty of Jeds out there being called Jerkos. Again, I speak from experience.
It sounds Russian when you say Giorko.
That's why I'm half Russian, so I like to say Giorko.
Okay, got it.
All right,
I didn't know that. Half Russian, really?
Half Russian, yeah.
Are you involved in the collusion?
Oh, yeah, no, I collude with myself every day.
Without your shirt
today. I'm sending myself emails every day. I'm posting those emails on Twitter every day. It's just a delight.
It's a mess. You better watch out that the New York Times and Wall Street Journal don't find out.
Oh, if they do, I'll just make sure I release it before they do. they can run an article about it.
There you go. Okay, so Cardinals, do you think they – I don't see – what are they going to do? What are they going to move?
I don't think they make the playoffs, but I also don't think that they sell for – I know they don't sell, and I don't think that they buy anything that costs them anything. They might make a move just to sort of keep their, you know, belligerent fans happy, you know, just so it doesn't look like they've given up. But I don't think they make a move where it's like, oh, my God, yes, yes, game changer. Where I think the Quintana trade is more like that. I think it's more like, A, he's a great pitcher that's going to get them three more wins than anyone else would have gotten them. And also, it's a kick in the pants. Like, hey, guys, remember us? We won the World Series last year. Let's go do some damage. All right, let's go on here. Pirates, they should sell. They don't have a chance. They should sell. They have... I would love to see them move McCutchen. I don't know who's looking for that.
And he's had after a slow start, he's really picked it up.
After a slow start, he should have been an all-star. His numbers so far have been freaking awesome. The guy's a superstar player. He had a bad month, and he missed the all-star game because he had a bad month. Who's that jerk that got – maybe he was the only White Sox player. God, I can never remember this guy's name. I always remember players that he reminds me of, but I can never remember his name. Avisail Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's an all-star, and Andrew McCutchen isn't an all-star? Please. Who's the DJ LeMahieu is an all-star?
Right.
Okay. Got it. Maybe there's a shortage of second base. No, because Daniel Murphy and Daniel Murphy. There's not a lot of good second basemen, I guess, in the National League. Josh Harrison. He's a good second baseman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, LeMahieu had no business being on that team. Zero business. However many businesses there are, like he's out of business.
He gets none.
But McCutchen's been great, and what a great trade chip he could be. I mean, obviously, you'd like to see these guys be able to stay with their teams. I would actually love if the league set up a system where teams could get a little extra oomph to keep a player.
Hmm.
Like they could get... like a league rebate, or it doesn't count against the cap or something like that. Not something that takes you over the cap, like the Larry Bird rule. But I think players staying on teams is better for the sport than
I would agree
just moving all around. I think some movement is good because it keeps it exciting in the offseason. But I think, especially like McCutchen, like he's such a Pittsburgh Pirate. Like, can you imagine him like in a Dodgers uniform? It would be so weird.
Right. Yeah, that would look weird.
Now we get to the Reds. Now the Reds got to sell. And here's what I want the Reds to do. Sell Raisel Iglesias.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's controllable for, I think, at least another year and a half. You're going to get an Andrew Miller return. You're going to get like a Gleyber Torres or a Clint Frazier or something like that. Like you're going to get an awesome prospect back. And the Reds aren't winning this year and they aren't winning next year. But if they, you know what they could do? They could trade Raisel Iglesias. Now, see, Victor Robles from the Nationals for Raisel Iglesias.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a trade that both teams could explain.
Would benefit, right, yeah.
You know, he's a top five prospect, just much like, I guess Torres wasn't a top five prospect, but top 10. I don't know. Maybe you can't do. But maybe you can do Juan Soto and your best pitching prospect for the Nationals. Or I'm telling you, that's the guy I'd move if I were the Reds. But again, I don't know how attached the team is to him or whatever and blah, blah, blah. But they have enough prospects coming. They just, if you could just get one or two more good prospects, like you're in last place. You're behind teams that are building well. Pittsburgh, St. Louis, the Cubs, the Brewers. Like you have a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to get out of Iglesias? You're not going to get anything. So trade him and get the absolute most you can, and right before the deadline is the best time to do it. Do we have any more teams to do? God damn it, we have the whole East left to do.
One more.
Okay, Philly, they're out.
Okay.
If they have stuff to trade, they should trade it. Pat Neshek, even Tommy Joseph I'd trade because they have enough prospects coming up behind him. But trade everything, and you're building for not next year, but maybe the next year. Mets, trade. Who do they got? Addison Reed? Maybe Jay Bruce? Yeah, okay, good. Marlins, out of it. Trade.
Everybody. The only ones that are untouchable right now are Ozuna and what's his name? The center fielder.
Yelich?
Yeah, Yelich.
Now, rumors of him going to Minnesota.
I don't see it. I don't see it.
I mean, I don't see them doing it because why would the Marlins trade him when he's having a little bit of a down year?
Mm-hmm.
You wait till his value's back up to the top unless you think he's actually turned into garbage.
But everybody else, I mean, Stanton's on the market.
And just get pitching prospects, man. Mm-hmm. Get all the
they
pitching prospects.
They need to replenish.
Yeah. That's a messed up team from head to toe. And they don't have a lot of prospects. And But be that team. Just be the team that's like, look, instead of 41-46, we're going to be a team that's 33-51. Who cares? What's the freaking difference?
Right.
I don't know the difference.
Rebuild.
Yeah, rebuild it. Atlanta is interesting.
They've hung around.
They've hung around, but they can't. Well, they're 8 out of the wild card and 9.5 out of the division. They should sell. Like, they should sell Matt Adams. But could they get anything?
An interesting mix of young and old player, veterans and young players.
Yeah.
That, you know, do they need that much right now? I really thought they were going to go full rebuild, but they decided when, you know, with the new stadium opening that they wanted to have a competitive team, you know, 500 team. And they've been successful in doing that. But they're, I think the pitching
I don't think that's a worthwhile goal for a team. But I'm also not familiar with Atlanta and its fans' proclivities or the egos involved with the front office, and maybe they just want to go for 500, you know, like maybe see them acquire a player, but they can't trade Jim Johnson anywhere because everyone knows he's actually garbage. And he does okay for the Braves, but the Dodgers picked him up a couple of years ago, and he just it was just awful.
Well,
it was so embarrassing
to watch. The A's signed him for a big contract,
right?
And he was awful. They got rid of him by the end of the year.
Yeah. So I think they should sell. I don't know that they have much to sell. Gosh, I would love if they traded Matt Kemp to a team with a DH. This is like the bane
side,
of my existence.
Sideshow.
Yeah. And then we get to the Nationals, who one could argue started off as the they started off as the best team in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
But that bullpen is hot fire, man. It is trash. It's like a New York garbage dump that's been urinated on by Jeffrey Loria and his Dracar Noir. Like it's just nasty. And they don't just need a closer. They need like two or three pieces. They need Brad Hand from the Padres and Justin Wilson from the Tigers and Raisel Iglesias from the Reds. Like they need to just get all the pieces. They screwed up, and now they have a trash bullpen and need to do something about it. We'll see if they do.
I think they will. They're going to probably pull the trigger on an outfielder and at least one. I mean, their relief pitching is bad. Bad, bad, bad. You know, not just the closer, but pretty much all the way around.
Yeah.
I don't know what their team stats are, but I'm sure
it's the worst. The most blown saves. It's the worst ER. Like it's and this is a first place team. This is a very good team.
Yeah, I'm taking a quick look here. Yeah, they're not splits here. Well, you can keep going.
Well, we're done though, John.
Oh, are we? Are we done?
Yeah, we're all just sitting here waiting for you to finish.
Let's just see if I could do the bullpen here real
and
quick.
And by we all, I mean the one guy who got this far in the podcast.
Right,
welcome,
made it.
Sir,
they're
or
like,
madam.
This is a new record. I'm staying till the end. So let's see. Washington is dead last in bullpen ERA. So not a good place to be. And that's crazy. You know, you talk about looking at those numbers. That there's only one thing they need to do. Well, they need more than that. But if they want to shore up any chance of a deep playoff run, they need to go out and get some help. And the part of the talk down in Florida is the Marlins are going to get rid of a lot of their bullpen.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that teams like Washington would be in the hunt for a couple of those pieces. The Yankees are interested.
Phelps,
Boston is interested in Phelps and Ramos. So, you know, those two pieces could wind up going to the same team for a nice haul in return for that.
Yeah. Or something. I mean, like, something back.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you pick up a Brad Hand in the offseason for $8 million, and it turns into a huge trade chip like the Padres did, and sometimes you pick up a Brad Ziegler.
Right.
And you basically set your money on fire, which you thought, hey, if things go bad, we can at least trade him for a prospect.
Yeah, Marlins used to have Brad Hand and got rid of him. So it's... Very interesting. So we still have some more to do here. We still have...
So my 1 minute maximum per team...
It turned into 45 minutes
I missed
total.
On that. I missed on that, John.
Missed by this much.
You know what happened was I knew I wasn't going to be able to hit that, but I think we spent more time on the headlines than I thought we would as well. And so maybe we should have split this up into two episodes.
And we spent a lot of times on a lot of time on some teams that didn't warrant it, like the Cardinals and the
And trying to figure out what the heck the Indians are going to do. I still don't know.
Yeah, we to be continued.
Yeah, let's move on to the extra innings then.
Okay, extra innings, and we can go through these relatively quickly. Another show I didn't watch sports related was the ESPYs. And do people watch the ESPYs?
Like many Americans, John, I did not watch it either. And the thing about a sports award show is there are awards for sports already.
Why do we need more? Right.
They're called championships. They're called MVPs.
Yeah, postseason
it's actually the most valuable
stuff,
player award. So we don't need your stupid show turning it into some editorial of like which team was better than the other.
Is it fan voting or is there a panel?
I think it's a panel. I don't think it's fan voting because then it would always be the freaking Royals, man.
I have to admit, I've never seen the ESPYs.
Honestly, it's awful. And I love sports, and I actually like a lot of the people that, you know, have been involved, but it's such a weird thing. And of course they put it, you know, between the All-Star game and the,
cause nothing in sports is going on.
Cause there's nothing going on. Yeah. And it's like, and as if there wasn't enough terrible nothingness going on, here's the ESPYs. So it's like salt in the wounds. Like you can't even turn it over to actual sports. You have to watch this tripe that they parade around in front. Everyone's in their suits and like, oh, look, we're at an award show. We're like Hollywood actors. No, you're not. You already got your awards.
And you make a boatload of money and you're all good.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need any more ego.
Exactly. You know. It's so stupid. And all it is to me is people at ESPN trying to intermingle with celebrities because that's all it ever is they're trying to get celebrities that they can intermingle with. And it's just an awful aspect of that network, and they need to turn some things around there because they're not doing it right, and I think the ESPYs should be the first to go.
I wouldn't miss them because I've never seen them, so it's not a big deal for me.
Yeah.
Okay, some NBA rumors. I know there's been a lot of buzz about what's going to happen with LeBron, you know, talking that his contract, he can opt out of next year and go free agent and all this talk about the Lakers. And then the Knicks talking about Carmelo Anthony. What's your thoughts on two pretty big names?
My concern about the Knicks trading Carmelo Anthony is they're just going to do it wrong because they're the Knicks. And look, I think they should trade Carmelo. I think the Knicks don't have enough to make the playoffs. So I think they should keep Porzingis, but I think you got to trade. If you have a piece like that, just trade it, get something back and move on. When we talk about the Angels possibly trading Mike Trout, if they should, yes, they should, but will they screw it up? Yes, they will. So maybe they shouldn't. LeBron to the Lakers. This is a very real possibility. It's going to blow a lot of people's minds. But I'll tell you one thing LA has that Cleveland doesn't have and Miami doesn't have, and that is an entertainment industry where you can create an entertainment company that can go out to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife wants to live in LA. And what's he going to do, go play for the Clippers? Okay. Nice try. What else?
Kid Rock, thinking
running
about
for
running
Senate.
For Senate. Yeah.
Yes.
So now that's the new thing that celebrities are going to start running for office. We had The Rock talking about it. Now we have Kid Rock.
I love it.
If you have Rock, is Chris Rock going to run? We're going to get all the Rocks out there.
It's going to be a complete Rock government.
Pile of Rocks.
People are going to just start changing their names to Rock so that they can run. There was Barack Obama.
There you go. Barack and roll.
He was the first Rock.
There you go.
Anyway, I don't know if it's for real, but he says it's for real. Kid Rock, anyway. Barack Obama is for real. Kid Rock is going to run for the U.S. Senate. Now, this was actually a joke that many people were making after Donald Trump was running for president. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, yeah, great. Right. And what next? Kid Rock running for Senate? And literally Kid Rock is going to run for Senate.
Yeah,
it's a great time to be alive, John.
Politics becomes entertainment.
And speaking of great times to be alive, did you
this
hear...
This is all you. This is all you.
That Blac Chyna, who's, you know, who many of you will know is a part of the Kardashian... they're not part of the tree, but she's part of the, we'll say, the moss that grows on the tree. It's not a very good tree to begin with, but it's sort of a...
It's a very wealthy tree.
It's a wealthy tree, but it's somewhat grotesque. But Blac Chyna is threatening to sue the rapper named Ferrari, not the car, but the rapper named Ferrari, if he shares any nude photos of her.
Because she cheated with him or something like that?
Yeah. So because she, you know, she's the baby mama or wife or the whatever of Rob Kardashian's kid. And it's really all very important. My question, though, when I read this was, aren't you able to get nude photos of this person? It seems like a person that would already have nude photos
right.
out.
And probably,
also, if you're a Kardashian, that's how you move up in the world. Why is right. she threatening to sue?
Right.
Unless this is just sort of like a teaser for everyone to get them ready for her nude photos.
That she releases on her own.
Right.
Right.
So. Well, she's like, well, not, she does a Donald Trump Jr. and she just releases them before he has before it. She I had needs to. I had to release it myself.
I didn't want to get any hot water. There you go. That's good. So our last story of the day.
Biggest story.
I had no clue. That yeah. This, and when I saw the note here, I was like, huh? And then when I saw who passed, and we'll get to the big reveal in a second, I was even more perplexed but then I saw the tie. So Psy's Gangnam Style loses his title of most watched video on YouTube, which was over 2 billion, you know, hits.
Yeah, like 2.7 billion or something like that.
Yeah,
2.8
yeah. billion. And I heard that YouTube had to rewrite their algorithms in order to incorporate the number of hits because it was so, when it was growing in popularity.
Right.
It's crazy.
Isn't
so
that amazing?
And the drum
Two
roll.
2 billion.
I know. And the drum roll is what's now the number one watched video on YouTube?
Kardashian sex tape?
Oh, do you know?
No.
Wiz Khalifa. It was the closing
yes.
song in Furious 7. Which
yes.
I,
it's like a power ballad thing.
I don't even. It doesn't even stick in my head.
It's a tribute to Paul Walker.
Right. I know that, but I saw the movie. I have yeah. no idea what the song is. I haven't listened to it, so I'll have to check it out just to see if it resonates with me as being connected to the film.
Okay, first of all, it won't resonate with you. Also, this has been propped up by the secret government who had
Paul Walker
killed with a drone strike as ordered by Barack Obama.
So Obama has a lot to do with the
yes.
song becoming popular?
Yes.
Is he a big Wiz Khalifa fan?
Maybe
that was part of the plan.
This is all part of the scheme, right? Because Wiz Khalifa, this is, you know what, this goes back to my my Serena conspiracy theory. Who stood to gain from Serena's death? Answer, Jennifer Lopez, who played her in the biopic.
Oh.
So who was behind Serena's murder?
Selena? I'm thinking Serena Williams. I'm like, I didn't know she died.
I have jumbled up two names and ruined my whole joke.
But go
Selena,
who's
responsible for Serena's murder? No one, because she's alive. Trick question. Next.
So finish the setup.
Okay, so let's rewind and pretend I didn't say all that stuff and say, okay, who stood to gain from Selena's death? Was it a fan? Was it her producers? No. Jennifer Lopez. Only Jennifer Lopez gained from her death.
Interesting.
Because she got to play her in the biopic. And then Jennifer Lopez, all of a sudden, big star, doing right. music, doing films. Should probably stick more to music than films. But
and TV, she had a
right?
cop show.
Where would she have been? She would have been nowhere.
And she has Selena to thank for it.
A little murder goes a long way, John.
And on that note, till next week.